Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
He, in our circles, is like a celebrity. He really reminds me of like George, Curious George. Just that adorable, everyone loves him. And so you say, how could you kick a guy when he's down like that? It's one of these guy things. I think it's good to give on those dad things a little bit of ribbing. And I think the bishop would find all that amusing. So enjoy the day. Lord, bless you. Be careful of the guys who can't take a little bit of a ribbing. And today is little Father's Day, so it's going to be a little dude heavy, just like Pastor Susan spoke last month for Mother's Day, and it was, you know, some great lady content, something about guys not paying attention or something. I don't know. I wasn't really listening. But as it goes on, this is a real male focus. Get what you can out of it. Enjoy it. Take it for what it is, and the Lord bless you. We're going to get through in some scriptures, and then I'm going to pray. Scripture in Numbers 19, verse 13. Whoever touches a dead person, the body of anyone who has died, and does not cleanse himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is still on him. And then following through, Proverbs 18 and 21 says this: life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this chance to get together on a Father's Day. Lord, we ask, we speak life into the bishop's body. Lord, bring health, wholeness, healing to where he is in Jesus' name. And for us, for the dads, everyone who's listening today, Lord, give us the grit, the determination to change the things we need to, and the grit and the determination to hold fast on the things that need to stay the same. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't touch death. Seems pretty straightforward. Don't touch death. I was reading through in the scriptures in Numbers and in Leviticus on this issue where the Lord has of like, don't touch dead stuff. And it was striking me as to why and how he transitions that into the New Testament. Don't touch death. Now, death can look different in different households. Cowardice can look like death. I'm not talking just about moral issues and, you know, having a sharp tongue with your wife or your children leads to death. There are other things in the scriptures. Laziness leads to death. Indecisiveness leads to death. Disloyalty. There's a variety of things that's different per household that we're encouraged, don't touch death. Death is one of those things that we'll get into it a bit on the why. But first, the Lord just says, don't touch it. And there's a couple of things regarding impurity that lead to death that he talks about. Ritual impurity and moral impurity. Now, ritual impurity is this. Ritual impurity has to do with the things, those outwards, those things that we touch. They're addressed in Leviticus 11 to 15. You could become unclean by touching a dead body or being in contact with such a thing as a mold, skin disease, or bodily fluids. And there was strict guidelines to not touch death. As well in Leviticus 11, it goes through a few things. I'm going to run through a couple of them with pictures of my children. This is Max. We encourage Max to not touch death, but here you go. This is my Zoe when she's about 2 years old. And she's got shellfish in her hand, and we're encouraged in Leviticus 11, don't touch shellfish, only touch things with fins and scales. So that pops up, and it also says, like, don't touch the carcass of, like, a horned owl. This is my daughter Emma. Don't touch a horned owl, a screech owl, a desert owl, a white owl. These things, for whatever reason the Lord has in mind, will make you ritualistically impure. This is my son, Ian. And we were doing some hiking up in the woods, and we came across a horse carcass. We encouraged him. We're like, hey, man, you should climb inside that thing and wear it like a cape. And so, but he's smart enough to know that was a bad idea. I don't claim to be a great dad. I just am a dad. Don't touch death. Don't touch it. And of all these things, like the encouragement, don't touch the blood of it. Don't touch the carcass of it. Don't have the meat of it. For example, tiger meat. I don't know if any of you have ever had tiger meat. It's great. Tiger meat for wherever you're at in life. It doesn't say all the whys. It just says, don't touch these things. They lead to death. The impurity leads to death. And then it moves from ritualistic impurity to moral impurity, which covers more in Leviticus 18 to 20. It outlines violations like social justice violations, sexual integrity, having healthy relationships, these types of moral things that lead to death. So the course I want to take you through today is don't touch death, why don't touch death, and then into some solutions about having already touched death. As I said, death looks different per household. So I'm not just talking about screech owls. I'm talking about other things, these issues of the heart. And here comes in the why. Death passes on death. That part of ritual impurity, it didn't mean that you necessarily had sinned per se in that moral aspect. It's not as though you murdered somebody or there's robbing of a bank. The problem was being in contact with something that was associated with death. Such contact spread from one thing to another. I don't know if you've seen that, like in the Matrix movies. And there's a character, Neo, and he touches this mirror. And as he touches the mirror, the metal liquid of the mirror ekes its way up his hand. And then it's like crawling up his arm. And then the next thing we see it coming onto his chest and then into down his throat. And it's that contamination of death. So don't touch death. Death spreads. Oh, the other day I was at Starbucks and there was a guy wearing UGG boots. And I thought to myself, well, there it is. That's the touch of death right there. The next thing you know, you're wearing yoga pants and drinking pumpkin spice lattes. Don't wear UGG boots. If you're out there today enjoying this video or not enjoying it, just don't do it. I'm trying to be your friend. Having something that goes from one phase and crawls into death, that transference is why the Lord talks about don't touch these dead things. Jesus said it this way in Galatians 5:9. He referred to it as a little yeast works its way through the whole dough. Now I say, well, you know, this yeast is fine, or that yeast is fine, or, you know, you just wash yourself afterwards. There is a road home after ritual impurity. There is a road home after coming in contact with death. But the conveyance is this. Death, these dead things exist. Don't touch them, because they spread. I was in Greece with my wife a few months ago in November, and I love making cheese. One of the things I really enjoy, and we're in Greece, and I enjoy making cheese, and we came across this great billboard. It says, make cheese, not war. And so I got her to take a picture of me, and I've enjoyed it, because this process of mold spreading. I was making a blue cheese this one time, true story. You know, I made camembert, cheddars, brie, all sorts of cheese, but I made this blue cheese, and it worked its way into its blue cheesiness. And this is the thing with molds. is that I didn't catch it at an appropriate time to slow down and halt this process. It devoured the rest of the curd. It liquefied it. It spread to other things. And it was like this, you know, blue cookie monster thing in the fridge, because that's the nature of death. And these molds that we're discouraged from touching is that they spread in such a way that they become, you know, uncontainable. They need one more thing to feed off of. So if I don't touch the death to begin with, the death can't spread. But inevitably, you've heard phrases like one rotten apple wrecks the whole barrel of apples. And it's true, because this apple produces ethylene gas, and that encourages the other apples around it to overripen quicker. And one bad apple can wreck a whole barrel of apples. And so this encouragement to stop death in its tracks, don't touch death, because death spreads, takes us into what is the power of the gospel, what is the power of moving forward with your family, the power of moving forward with your children, is Christ. You say, well, how does all that work? Something happened when Jesus came to the earth. And it wasn't just, you know, and there he is, and the angel sang, and there was trumpets. You see, the system changed when Jesus came. And I'm, as a dad, my highest priority is putting that system, that adjustment to place in my children's lives, my family's life. Here's what happened. So you have this Old Testament, this Leviticus, this number situation, don't touch death. But then we have Jesus come on the scene. And he does some interesting things, because it's likely that either you've touched death, cowardice, disloyalty, sharp words. These are the things that the Bible say are paths to death. And you have to find a way back. And in and of ourselves, we can't do it. But where it all gets turned on its head with the introduction of Jesus is, instead of touching death, when Jesus touches it, instead of the death coming on to him, he releases the life into it. The system changes. We have a story in Mark 5:41. Jairus' daughter. Jairus was the synagogue leader. And he came across that she had his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, had died. And Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Now we have Jesus, the Jew. This isn't okay. But the system with Christ isn't that her death passes to him and he becomes unclean. The system is now with Christ that the life of Christ comes through and into her. The system changes. So my introducing my family, my children, myself, becoming more and more Christ-like, is instead of the death coming in, the life goes out. It came this way as well in Mark 5:27. The woman with the issue of blood. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. This woman had some issue of blood and bleeding for years, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And it records through that she touches Jesus. And he said, who touched me? Power has gone from me. That system got turned on its end, so that instead of touching death and death contaminating you, we became a vessel, a vehicle of life. And dad, you want to move your family forward, connect them in faith to Jesus. There's no other way. You can't be smart enough. You can't have enough money. There's not enough hours in the office that will bring life into a family. The power of Christ inside of your home, working in that wondrous, inexplainable way, Jesus, that power coming out of him, it's indescribable, it's incomparable. There's not words to describe it. That's why it's incomparable. How do you take it to yourself to come from a place where you know in some way or another, through those things we talked about earlier, there's the touch of death inside the home? My encouragement to you, for you and for your family, is that there is a transference that happens when Jesus is on the scene, when Jesus is accepted and taken into your life, that instead of passing, death being passed to you, you become a vehicle of light, a vehicle of life, a transforming vessel of power. Which brings me to my fourth point and final point. As a dad, building a bridge back home, building a way home for your family, you must provide a way back. There has to be a means for you to bring your children back, to bring the family back around. That vehicle is Christ, but you have to purpose yourself to provide a way home. I'm going to talk about a couple of quick things on about how to do that. First one being, build a parental relationship, Dad, not just a friend relationship. I very much enjoy hanging out with my kids. I did a daddy-daughter road trip last weekend. I have no problem. Just pop into my kid's room. They'll be playing video games or doing whatever. I'm just sitting and chat and going on doing things with them. Love the friendship. What they can't get anywhere else is a parent. And so mistaking, I just need to build this friendship for not having a parental relationship is a mistake. I believe you're taking out of their life the only opportunity that they have for a true parental relationship. Of course, we have like great aunts and uncles and things within our life, but there's nothing that replaces you, Dad. And so take that for what it is. I was a friend of mine. I've got all sorts of fun, wild, crazy friends. This particular friend, not a clever decision. He's talking about, building a relationship with his young adult son. And so his son was just into this heavy party phase, and so it's like, I'm just going to go clubbing with him. And I'm like, we're Canadian, all right? We're Canadian. The only clubbing we should be doing is when it's time to cull the seals. You know what I'm saying out there? High five. That's a terrible idea. The only clubbing I should be doing. This is a bad idea. He's touching, he doesn't maybe even know it at the time, but he's touching death. I'm not going clubbing with my kids. That parental relationship. Dad, you need to move in authority. Dad, you need to move in confidence. Dad, you need to move with direction, not perfection. And this is sometimes where it goes wrong, where that feeling of like, I need to be all, do all, be perfect in their eyes. They know you're messed up and you're doing your best. Lighten up, man. But don't go clubbing. We'll be thinking on these varying ways. I need this. This is what perfect would look like. Perfect would look like this particular thing. I got to have the right look with this right education. Your kids don't care about that. You know, Dad bod is back in. It's not a thing. I was telling my son, being shredded, having a shredded physique, is just, it's one of those things about like, you're trying to distract a girl because you don't have a personality. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I said that. So it's not that you have to be perfect in every way. I need to look this way for him to look up to me. No, he loves you. So I'm 48. I still look to my dad for answers for things. Situations will pop up in and around the house. I need to have this built. I need to be doing that. Just a second. Ding, dong, ding. That was more like a bell. Beep, bop, boop. That's more like a cell phone. Barely. I'll still reach out to my dad at 48 because I still have more confidence in him at 70 than I do in myself at 48. Dad, move with authority, move with confidence, move with direction in your house. Build the relationship, a parental relationship. You can be great friends with your kid. I encourage you to build strong friendships with your kids, but don't abandon it for a parental relationship. They do look to you for some of these things. And so I think it would be, it's one of those tragedies to rob them of the parent relationship because for whatever reason, this is how I think it needs to go. Tell me, you know, in that story of Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. That story is working itself through with the prodigal son. We love that story. It's a story of redemption and a way back. But there's a part of that story that we don't really talk about a lot. How about that dad let his son veer off the rails, like just poo the bed in the worst of ways, spends all of his resources on crazy nonsense, till finally he's living with the pigs. That's what it comes to. That's also that same loving dad. And sometimes we have a hard time with, like, dad is just, you know, this is this thing of fun and games, but dad can't be harsh. Dad must provide a way back home. It is imperative, dad, that you build a relationship that provides a way back home. You see, when it's a toddler and they poo the bed, you're like, oh man, that's no worry, no big deal. We'll get all that cleaned up. Done. A little bit older, you're like, all right, you know, things happen. Let's do this together. Let's get all this cleaned up together. But things do hit a point where it's like, you pooed in the bed. What you gonna do? We gotta figure it out, man. And that's part of love as well as a parent, as a dad. Love isn't just fixing everything. This road back home gets built on this parental relationship. You see, a friend can come in and just, you know, they don't have to think in this global picture. And my encouragement to you, dad, not just to be a mean jerk, because that can be how it's taken, but walk things through parentally on the wise. Let your young people grow. Let them experience. And if sometimes the bottom falls out, you be there and provide a way back home. I found this part very interesting because the next verses in Leviticus say this. In Leviticus 5, 6, 7, and 11. As a penalty for their sin they have committed, they must bring to the Lord a female lamb or goat from the flock as a sin offering. First step back home. And the priest shall make atonement for them for their sin. Anyone who can't afford a lamb is to bring two doves or two young pigeons to the Lord as a payment for the sin offering. That penalty for their sin needs to get covered into this. One for the sin offering and the other for the burnt offering. If, however, they can't afford two doves or two pigeons, they're to bring an offering for their sin, a tenth of an ephah of the finest flour as a sin offering. You see this progression that is outlined in the scripture? You're going to bring a sheep or a goat or this lamb. Okay, you don't got that. Let's go with a couple of doves, a couple of pigeons. You hear me? Is that cool? Not so much? Okay. How about a tenth of an ephah? It's about 2 gallons, or not 2 gallons, about 2 liters in volume that way of flour, the finest flour. You see, this paving a way back home that is dad's responsibility has to be filled with grace. There has to be a way of redemption. And so as you're thinking about these dad-related things, have that mind of Christ. You say, well, they need to learn their lesson. Yes, they need to learn their lesson. We'll get that covered. Did you give them a way home? Did you provide a way back so that they're not buried under the weight of the sin? Well, the penalty for this one is so high. Okay, can we bring the penalty into this next realm of this dove-pigeon realm? Is that still a little heavy? How about a sack of flour? You see, we have this vision of this of angry God dad, and it's just not the case. Even this Old Testament imagery is, let's get a way back home for you. And so I recap it with this. Don't touch death for whatever form that looks like in your life. Death carries with it more death. Jesus is the transference of life into your family and situation. Like he did, provide a way out. A happy Father's Day to you. Whatever comes on through, whatever happens today, whatever your kids did or didn't do, or, you know, maybe you're just in a challenging situation at home or with them, you're like, where do I begin building this relationship? Like I always tell my kids, what did you try? Did you try something? Did you try? You keep at it. I didn't say the dad life is all easy. My encouragement to you is just try, man. Just try. For those dads who are needing it, in fact, for all dads, if you're with your father at this time, or, you know, perhaps your dad has passed on or this sort of thing, you'd be thinking about him. If there is that man, person in your life, but particularly for dads today, why don't you go over to him at home? Wherever he's at, get off your couch, move over to him, put your hand on his shoulder. Just let him know you really care. And that what a crybaby. Dads. He's trying his best. Just pray for him, okay? Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity for us to come boldly to your throne of grace to find mercy for the help for the things we need. We love our dads. Lord, have grace on them. Have grace on us as dads. Lord, give us the gumption to provide the leadership that is needed inside of our home. Lord, give us the mercy we need to be effective at what you've called us to do. And help us show that Jesus love of paving a way back to the promise. Thank you, Jesus, that you dealt with sin at the cross and that we can find freedom in you. That freedom is available to each of us. Everyone who's listening today, Lord, for those who are away from you and need to make a recommitment in faith, if that's you out there, you can go ahead and press that button. Lord, for those who need a recommitment of faith, fill them with love. Let them know they are valued. For dads that feel they've messed up, let them press the reset button. Lord, so that we can walk and move this thing forward. That's what we want to do, Jesus. We want to move it forward, but not by our own power, by yours. We thank you for the redemptive work of the cross. We receive it in Jesus' name. Happy Father's Day!